Rejoicing in the rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as he,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Thomas Arias. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. or again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. The book of James in chapter 1 and verse 13 reads, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Now, this verse is important to our reading of Matthew's gospel because people misunderstand Jesus. James plainly tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, yet today's reading is going to be about the temptation of Jesus. So, if Jesus is God, and he is, then how can Jesus have been tempted by the devil, by evil? Now, some people will explain away the temptation of Jesus by saying that he wasn't really tempted, which is a terrible conclusion, because then what Matthew writes is not only a complete waste of time, but deceptive. Then if Jesus was truly tempted, then he wasn't God. You see the problem? Yet if Jesus is God, and he is, then how could he have been tempted? This is the question. Look with me at the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 6. Paul writes this, "Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Additionally, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 16, we read this, "For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Paul and the Hebrew writer agree in their teaching to us that Jesus became a man. Became means that at one point he wasn't a man. God became man, born in the flesh. This is Jesus, just as we read at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And because he was born a man, Jesus truly was tempted. So let us read about Jesus' temptation. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Well, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Well, then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. Now again, if Jesus couldn't be tempted in this situation, then this whole situation's a farce. And that would destroy the whole point that Matthew is making for us. Remember, God does things differently than we do. Jesus is God. He is no exception. The different thing that Jesus does, he resists the temptation to sin. He was tempted. These were real offers to him that he really could have taken, but he sinned not. And that is Matthew's whole point. Now, additionally, there are some doctrines today which exempt Jesus from sin wholesale while condemning humanity, us, as being born in sin. Once again, if Jesus is different from us in any way or exempt from being human in any way, then they negate Christianity. They negate justice. They negate fairness in God altogether. And why is this? Because if Jesus is different from us, there's no point of Jesus maintaining his sinlessness. If Jesus is excused from being a human, that means that God has demanded of us something that even he cannot do. If Jesus couldn't sin, or if Jesus was different than us in any way, then God demanding justice for our sin really does become a tyranny instead of justice. And this isn't what Matthew presents to us. This isn't the scriptures at all. Instead, we find that God in the flesh is Jesus. He doesn't give in to sin like we all have. Jesus is different. Even with Satan presenting every opportunity for sin and all of the real temptations placed before him, and even with the reality of starving at the time, Jesus refused to break the law of God. This is why Jesus is the standard for us. Not because he was God and didn't break the law. It's because he was human and didn't break the law. Jesus shows us that it is possible, and by so doing, he removes from us any excuse that we can come up with to try to justify our sin. We are responsible ourselves for not being sinless. Not our fathers, not our forefathers, not our country, not our society, not Adam, not Eve, nobody else. In honesty, you know who's responsible for your sin. I know who's responsible for my sin. And the answer is only me. That guy I see in the mirror every day. And because I know that Jesus lived a life without sin, I am without excuse. I am the one who's come up short. If Jesus, who he grew up poor in one of the poorest places in one of the poorest countries in the world, he grew up without the perfect family establishment. Remember, his parents weren't married when Mary was pregnant. Right? He grew up in one of the most socially restrictive times and places in our world, and he was presented every opportunity, presented every excuse, and presented every reason to sin, and he didn't. Then I have no excuse. Now, if Jesus got a pass, then God isn't just, for that means he would demand something that even he cannot do. Many pastors will claim that Jesus couldn't keep the law. Well, that's not correct. What is correct is that the Jews wouldn't keep the law. It is possible to keep the law. The problem is that people don't. Just as today, we won't keep God's laws. Not that we cannot, but that we will not. Jesus, however, did. He kept the law of Moses, and he kept it perfectly. As the scripture tells us, he was sinless. This is Matthew's point. Now, let us learn something from this event. Let us really learn something, right? We cannot put the genie back in the bottle. We cannot put the cat back in the bag. We have already sinned. And again, it's not because of what our forefathers have done. It is what we ourselves have done. We have sinned. However, we can learn from Jesus how to avoid more sin. So let us consider what Jesus did to not give in to the temptation. And maybe when temptation shows before us again, maybe we will be able to say no in the future. So Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. The human body can go up to 40 days without food before it becomes unable to digest food at all. Jesus, in essence, was starving. That's the point, right? And surely turning a stone into bread during this time would be excusable. Everyone would rationalize this in this way. He's starving. Here's the stone. It can become bread. If Jesus really could turn a stone to bread, which he could because it's a real temptation, and if he really was hungry, which he was 40 days without food, then just a little usage of the Holy Spirit's power to turn a single stone into a single loaf of bread would be justified. Surely this is the human way of thinking. Now, I'm not condoning someone starve to death to not break God's law. The question is, do we trust God? Because Jesus did. He trusted the Father. And so he was able to go 40 days without food. And when the opportunity presented itself to turn a stone to bread, he said no. Now, this isn't to say that we Christians need to undergo such a fast. There's no record of Jesus, the apostles, nor the early church commanding that we engage in such a similar activity. This is not the goal. What is the goal? The goal is to not sin. That's the example that's being given to us. So how did Jesus overcome the temptation and not give in to sin? And the answer is by knowing his priorities. Not that he was hungry. He knew that he was hungry. His body was telling him this. Knowing that God comes first is the priority. Look with me at Jesus' own teaching from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them all. Are you not of more value than they? Skip down to verse 31 with me and read what Jesus continues. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, God made us. He knows just what we need. This isn't to say that God is just going to make food appear in our cupboards when we're hungry, although he could. Instead, God has set things up so that there is food for us all over the world. All we have to do is a bit of work for it. And when there's places without food, God's given us 2 feet. We can leave there and go elsewhere. He has set it up so that when we do our part, meaning when we work, we have access to food. Jesus, as he engages in his 40-day fast, has the purpose of seeking the Father's kingdom first, and food will be added later. Not just filling his belly as many humans do, just filling the belly. All they do, they get up, they eat, and they work so that they can eat, and that's all they do. God knows we need to eat. And God has put us here so that we can work. But the reality is we need to seek his kingdom first, and God will give us the work to do to fill our bellies. Jesus is showing us the different way. Not the human way that we're used to. So the second temptation provided has Satan quoting God's own word to Jesus, as if Jesus didn't know the scriptures, right? But remember, this is a real temptation for Jesus to abuse his relationship with the Father and not abide by the standards that God has set up for all mankind. Satan has been misusing God's word since the beginning. And this is important. Satan isn't alone in this. Man has been joining with Satan for many, many years and still is in misusing Scripture. There is a right and wrong way to use Scripture. Satan obviously uses it wrongly, and many people, even to this day, join him. Jesus, however, doing the right, uses Scripture correctly. Looking at the third temptation of power and absolute power, this temptation of Jesus provided by Satan is again a real temptation. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And he offers it to Jesus. This is one temptation which many men fail every day. That temptation is to have power over their fellow man. And Jesus says no. How did Jesus answer all of these temptations of Satan? By knowing the Father, by knowing the Scriptures. And it isn't enough to just know the Scriptures, because as we saw, Satan knows the Scriptures as well, but he misuses them. Jesus knows the Scriptures and uses them properly. Just because someone quotes Scripture does not mean they're using it properly. Many people today use Satan's trick of twisting the Scriptures for their own end. Just because they carry a big title or a big Bible or spent many years in study or in school doesn't mean that they are right or that they handle the Scriptures properly. You and I, if we're going to follow Jesus' example, need to carefully study the Scriptures. Look with me at the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks of them in these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, know this beforehand. Take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. See, remember our goal. Our goal is to be better, to sin less, to be more like Jesus. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by Satan? God's word used properly. Peter tells us to focus on being without spot or blemish, meaning to be without sin, and to be at peace about it. The writings of Paul, Peter tells us, will help us. Paul's wisdom given to us will help us to be without spot or blemish. And you know what that means? That means study the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures with me. Don't let yourself be carried away by the error of lawless people, as Peter says. Instead, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This world is filled with people who will take God's Scriptures, God's words, and they will twist and distort them for their own ends, so that they can be lawless, without law, meaning that they can engage in sin. For lawlessness is sin, Scripture tells us. And so as we live our lives, as we go about our daily living, which includes work, we need to seek first His kingdom. That's going to be key for who we are. We seek first His kingdom, and that job, which is required for us to live, that job will be a part of fulfilling our life, of making sure that we have home, making sure that we have food, making sure that we have clothing. See, obviously, God's plan for us as Christians is to do better, to be better, to become more like Christ. And we can do this if we apply ourselves with some diligence. And it's important for us to understand that the only way we know the right way to live is to follow the Scriptures and to use them properly, just as Jesus did. So can we. Let me encourage you today, this day, imitate Jesus. Follow his example. Know the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Study the scriptures properly. Use them properly to follow Jesus. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F-41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me. 989-305-2721 is my number. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
My vessel is empty. Once I had plenty, my soul is barren and dry. Somewhere flows a fountain beyond distant mountains. Let me drink from the river. Children, as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Oh, drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father. So long I've hungered, no man could number the days that I've longed to be in a land filled with honey, where the rivers are running. Very soon now I'll taste and I'll see. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Oh, drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let me drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain.